wedged for at least 2 hours until she finally got around to either easing him out or inviting him for dinner.
"I got a feeling, Nora," Bill said. "A feeling it's my lucky day. There's a big one being pulled out this afternoon."
The state lottery was up to $13 million. There hadn't been a winning ticket in 6 weeks. "I forgot to buy a ticket," Nora told him. "But I don't feel lucky." She fished change from her pocket. "I'd better run. I've got an audition."
"Break a leg."
Bill was obviously proud of his show business jargon.
"I keep telling you, you're the picture of Rita Hayworth when she was in Gilda. Oh, you're gonna be a star."
For a moment, their eyes locked. Nora felt oddly chilled. The usual mournful expression was gone from Bill's pale blue eyes. Wisps of yellow-white hair were rippling across his forehead. His smile seemed frozen in place.
"One way or another, maybe we'll both be lucky," she said. "See you, Bill."
At the theater, there were already 90 hopefuls ahead of her. She was given a number and tried to find a place to sit. A familiar face came over. Last year, she and Sam had bit parts in the Bogdanovich film. "How many parts are they casting?" she asked.
"Two. One for you, one for me."
Very funny. It was 1 o'clock when she got a chance to read. It was impossible to tell how well she had done. The producer and the author sat with impassive faces. She went on a go-see for a print ad and then auditioned for a JCPenney industrial film. Not bad to get that one. 3 days' work at $275 a day. There was one more place where she meant to drop off a picture, but at 4:30, she decided to forget it and go home. The relentlessly uneasy feeling that had been with her all day had grown into a black cloud of apprehension. She walked across town to the subway, just reached the platform as her train was pulling out, and settled in weary resignation on a graffiti-covered bench. It gave her time to do what she had not wanted to do all day. Think about Jack, about her and Jack, about the fact that the apartment was going co-op and they couldn't afford to buy it, about Jack changing jobs again. Even in Manhattan, there were just so many investment houses. She'd never even heard of whatever the new one was called. Face it, Jack hated bond sales. He'd gone into it just so that they'd have income while she tried to make it as an actress and he wrote on weekends. They arrived in New York with college diplomas still wet, wedding rings still new, so sure that they'd blaze across Manhattan. And now, 6 years later, Jack's frustration was showing in 100 ways. A crowded train lumbered into the station. Nora got on, squeezing her way past the door and grabbing a pole. As she steadied herself in the swaying car, she realized the rain must have started. The people she was next to had damp coats, and the heavy, musty odor of wet shoes permeated the subway car. The apartment was a welcome haven after the day. Their view included the East River, the Triborough Bridge, Gracie Mansion. Nora couldn't imagine that either one of them hadn't been born in Manhattan. They simply were New Yorkers. If only she could get a running part on a soap, she'd be able to carry the finances for a while and give Jack his chance to write. She'd come close a couple of times. It would happen. She shouldn't have hammered at him this morning. He'd been so embarrassed when he admitted losing the Merrill Lynch job. Had she unconsciously become so critical that he couldn't talk to her anymore? Or was he losing his self-confidence that badly? "I love you, Jack," she thought. She hurried into the kitchen, pulled a wedge of cheddar and a sprig of grapes from the refrigerator. She'd have the carafe of wine waiting with some nibbles when he got home. Fixing the platter, getting out wine glasses, propping sofa pillows, turning the lights down so they glowed softly and emphasized the panorama of the skyline, eased Nora's sense of worry. It was only when she went into the bedroom to change into a caftan that she noticed the light on the answering machine was blinking. There was one message. It was from Bill Regan. His voice, an excited, raspy wheeze, he said,
"Nora! Don't go out! I got..."